If House lawmakers get their way, the Defense Department will come out from under a moratorium aimed at limiting outsourcing, a provision that's been in place for the last 3 years. The language kept DOD from using the government's A76 process to conduct private-public competitions to decide whether to keep work in-house or contract it out to industry. Meanwhile, a separate bill introduced by two Democratic lawmakers would extend the A76 moratorium across the five largest agencies in government. It's a tug-of-war that Dan Goray, vice president of the Lexington Institute, says has been going on a long time.
You know, the insourcing-outsourcing debate in Washington competes, I think, with the Israeli-Palestinian struggle for the title of most intractable dispute. As a former Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition Technology and Logistics once said, outsourcing promised to save 20%, and now insourcing promises to save 20%, and we're sort of still fighting over the same 20%.
Goray spoke at an outsourcing-insourcing forum sponsored by the Lexington Institute on Thursday. He says it's time for the fight to come to an end. He thinks it's time for DOD to right-size the blend between its contracted and civilian workforce once and for all and stop drifting between extremes.
With the pendulum set to swing now, or at least is halted and maybe swinging back to a more balanced position, seems to be appropriate to think about an approach, a strategy that might circumvent the constant to-ing and fro-ing over the same ground. I mean, let's be honest here. The nation cannot afford that the intersection of the public and private industrial and support bases be a war zone. This is no longer acceptable. All right, we need to find a right balance between the public and private sectors, and between insourcing and outsourcing, spread broadly.
The bill the House passed last week attempts to do that. It orders the Secretary of Defense to develop a total force management plan that sets out policies and procedures for determining the right mix between contractors, civilians, and military personnel, but to do it in a way that prioritizes mission capability over cost savings. Lawmakers also included language expressing the sense of the Congress that DOD should not compete with private industry and should not insource any job unless it's inherently governmental. Redding Hobby, the executive director for strategic plans and initiatives at the Defense Logistics Agency, says there's no right answer to whether outsourcing or insourcing are good or bad. He says DLA has saved money through both means. On the outsourcing side, he says DLA conducted 19 competitions through the A76 process over the last 15 years and saved nearly $1 billion. On insourcing,
in 1 year, in fiscal year 10, DLA insourced almost 400 positions. And that saved us $19 million for that 1 year. And again, I mentioned that the jury's still out on the long-term effects of that. Will we be effective doing that? Will we be able to garner any efficiencies doing that? I would report to you that the jury's still out. However, the numbers, almost 400 full-time equivalents and $19 million, speak for themselves.
The lesson, he says, is that outside mandates to do more or less insourcing or outsourcing are probably not a good idea.
These decisions would probably best be better served by being left to management to work a business case analysis and let the business case analysis, properly executed with the right guidance, determine the best value, and then do an economic analysis based on that outcome and make sure that over the long haul, make the decisions based on that without statutory left and right limits or policy bookends that drive us to a specific decision. And I think we will provide the best value to our customers, the best support to the warfighter, and provide the enduring capability that our nation demands.
John Conger, DOD's Assistant Deputy Undersecretary for Installations and Environment, also says that just as the government doesn't have to do everything, neither does it have to contract everything out. And he says prior to the moratorium, DOD proved that public-private competition is not a synonym for outsourcing.
Through the miracle of competition, saved $11.5 billion. We did the math. That's a lot of money, and especially a lot of money in an environment where we're squeezing for every dollar. Now, here's the thing that not everybody realizes. More than half of these competitions were won by the public sector, and we still saved money. Why do we save money when the public sector wins? Well, we save money because the public sector looks at their organization and squeezes it down in order to win the competition. Just like a private sector company is going to do, trying to come in with a pretty good bid.
Conger says he hopes the A76 moratorium ends, but if it does, he cautions it will take a while for DOD to get the competitions back up and running.
The problem is that when you have said moratorium, the competitions that were in process go away. There are no new competitions. And so the staff that was dedicated to assessing the cost of everything and the staff that was in charge of doing oversight on these competitions, well, I'm not going to just pay them to sit at their desks and do nothing. I've got them doing other stuff. So you don't have a competitive sourcing staff anymore. You don't have one in OSD. You don't have one in the services. You're going to have to reconstitute that. You don't get to go, okay, moratorium over, go ahead and start. It's not that simple. And so there's going to be some slow buildup as we come back into this as a reality, if in fact we do.
But Frank Finelli, a managing director at the investment firm The Carlyle Group, says there's an inherent problem with competing DOD's in-house performance against private industry, at least as the program's structured now. He says that's because, unlike private firms, DOD nor the government as a whole can produce auditable financial statements. And consequently, the competitions don't compare apples to apples.
We really do have a government cost accounting system right now, or cost accounting process, I guess, is more appropriate, that underestimates the total cost of some of these programs. And you really kind of have to ask yourself whether that's a conflict of interest that drives some of the decisions or feeds some of the decisions that people have to contemplate. The government also has an evolving process to estimate these costs, but kind of what is the process, what are the systems, and what are the metrics to measure these actual fully burdened costs, and how does that compare with what was estimated on the front end? This is a vitally important point. It's interesting to note that DOD is pressing private sector to be under firm fixed price contracts for essentially all the work that they do, yet the government's work remains on essentially a cost plus basis. I think this inconsistency has important implications for the allocation of risk across the private and the public sector.
In addition to the A76 process outlined by the Office of Management and Budget, DOD has its own cost estimating procedures outlined in a directive-type memorandum that's due to be upgraded to a DOD instruction by September of this year. But David Bartow, a defense researcher at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, says not only is that memo rarely followed, he and industry groups say the process is flawed because it hides a number of costs borne by the government when government does the work.
Particularly costs that aren't in the budget of the deciding activity. And most of you who've been out in the field in DOD or any other government agency know the only budget you really care about is the budget that's yours. If somebody else absorbs that cost, that doesn't really come into your decision-making process. I've actually had chief budget officers and chief financial officers of substantial DOD entities which have admitted that much to me point blank. If it ain't in my budget, I really don't care. That's fine. Their job is to manage their entity. But at some level, you do have to care. At the level of DOD-wide, you have to care. At the level of government-wide, you have to care.
Nonetheless, Bertow says DOD did outsource too much work over the past 20 years, and the department does need to rebuild its internal capabilities, particularly in the acquisition workforce. But that, he says, has nothing to do with cost. In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.